ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नाम श्रेष्ठं मनुमपि शचिपुत्रम् अत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्याग्रजमुरुपुरीं माधुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशां प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथितकृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः परकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनतन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता शिवशाखान्वितांश्च हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Today's subject is the Tirthas. The same subject I've been discussing for quite a few days. Actually, this hearing and chanting about Krishna, that's a Tirtha. Helps us to cross over this world of death. Taraha e bhava sindur abhaya charana arvinda. The lotus feet of Krishna help us to cross or take us across the world of birth and death. So talking about the attitude when undergoing pilgrimage. Now if we think that people often go in groups on pilgrimage, a village group, or a caste group, or an office group. Now it's expected, being the material world, that people, they have various tensions among themselves. In the village, in the caste, in the office. But when they go on pilgrimage, everyone's doing their best to be good and to be saintly. That's really how one should go on pilgrimage, to come to a better platform. And then when one goes with people who may have mixed relationships with, but we see the best in them, we see that they're doing their best to be saintly, and we're all trying to be good here. And then we see people in a different context to that which we're used to. So that's very helpful also for relationships, that popular word, relationships. There's a lot of talk about relationships. So one good way to have good relationships is to go on pilgrimage with people you're having difficulties with and say that, well, at least in the time of pilgrimage, let's put our differences aside and chant together, chant the holy names, and glorify Krishna together. And there's a sense of kamaradi which arises from going with others on pilgrimage. There's also the solo pilgrim who goes out alone. That's difficult. No company, like Vidura was, and there are so many up to the present day. Or we see it's common sadhus going groups of two or three. But generally householders, they go in larger groups. So the manasa tirthas, the tirthas of the mind. Skanda Purana states truth, forgiveness, control of the senses, kindness to all living beings, and simplicity are tirthas. And in some shastras it's said that Yeah, the same thing, the same things. Satya, truthfulness, daya, kindness, indriya nigraha, control of the senses. And it's said that in the Devi Bhagavat, which is not quite sure about that, it doesn't appear in any of the lists of the main Puranas, but there are a lot of good things in there, even if it's stolen from other sources. So there it states that the Manasa Tirtha is the most important. Purity of mind is even more important than the Ganga. How can that be? The Ganga, the most worshipable goddess, and little me and my mind, and because it's become pure, then I become more important than the Ganga. No, but for crossing over the ocean of birth and death, purity of consciousness is required. So it's not that someone becomes more important than Ganga, but the point is that you may go to the Ganga, take a bath, do puja, do all these different things, and the consciousness is not very much purified. Will be somewhat at least, but Gangara parasho hile paschate pavan. It takes time. It's not that, generally speaking, it's not that one becomes completely purified. I mean, just by taking baths in Ganga, one may be purified from the sinful reactions. That may be cleared off, but it doesn't clear off very quickly the sinful propensities within the mind. But to cross over the ocean of material existence, one has to have a pure mind. So if one has that, then from one's own perspective, not from the perspective of the whole cosmos, but that is what's really required. We go to the holy places to become purified. So if we're pure, then our purpose is served. Matsya Purana states that the tirthas are in the houses of people who follow all the rules of Varnashram. So giving a boost to Varnashram. Of course, it's possible to follow Varnashram and be a demon. Follow all the rules. Well, the central rule, which not everyone knows, is to worship Krishna. Chari Varnashrame Jadi Krishna He Bhaje Swadharma Palite She Rorave Paremaje. That one can follow all the rules, but he neglects to worship Krishna, follows all the rules of Varnashram Dharma, but neglects to worship Krishna. Swakarma Karite She Rorave Paremaje. Then he's doing all the things very nicely, but he falls into hell for the sin of neglecting Krishna. But it's giving a boost to those who those who are in the Varnashram system, how important it is to follow it. Of course, no one follows completely perfectly. It's almost impossible to follow everything completely perfect every single day of one's life. And even if one does, then still it doesn't mean the mind is completely pure. So this statement might seem to be discouraging people from going on pilgrimage. But if anyone is honest enough, they know, I need to get some extra boost, some extra help. So there are various lists of this. Manasa Tirthas, Satya, truthfulness, Kshama, tolerance of others behaving in a manner that you wouldn't like them to act in, tolerance of heat and excessive heat, excessive cold, bodily disturbances, and so on. Indriya nigraha, controlling the senses, daya, compassion, saralya, simplicity, not in the sense of being a fool, but in the sense of not being cunning and duplicitous. Brahmacharya, sometimes translated as celibacy, but it's more than that. It's actually, why is it only translated as celibacy? Well, because it's an essential part of acting in Brahman, acting on the spiritual platform. Dana, giving in charity, dhriti, determination, and so on. So some shastras say that these manasatirtas are the most important of all, and then I've just discussed why that is so. The whole point of going to a tirtha is for... Well, not everyone knows that. The whole point in going there is to be purified, purified of one's sins, and more importantly, purified of one's sinful consciousness. And even if people go for materialistic boons, they know that you can't go there, you can't go to a holy place and be in gross sinful consciousness and expect that you'll get reciprocation from the holy place and the deity there. So, going to a holy place, it's not just a matter of the feet going, but one has to go with one's heart also. So the two things are important. There you can make a map. We have nice maps of India, various maps. There are so many different maps. You'll find maps of the old Puranic India showing the places mentioned in Ramayana and Mahabharata. Then we have maps of the 107 Divya Desams, right? Because one of them doesn't get on the map. You have it, it's up there, Parampadam. In India and Nepal, at least one of them's in Nepal, right? Muktinath. The Divya Deshams of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. And then there's a map. I'm not sure that appears in the Gaurya Vaishnava Abhidhan of Haridas Das, of all the places visited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as far as can be, as are mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and as much as can be ascertained, because we're not sure exactly where some of them are. Most of them are well known. And the similarly, Nityananda Padankita Stan, it means like Gauranga Padankita, the places marked by the lotus feet of Gauranga and Nityananda. So we can get maps like that. And I haven't seen one of the places visited by Krishna. That could also be done. Krishna, he's known for being in Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka, but he visited so many places also. And some of them wouldn't fit on the map of Bharat also. When he went to see Mahavishnu, then you'd have to make a big map to fit that one in. In fact, the map would goes beyond the coverings of the universe. But otherwise, he went to what we now know as Maharashtra. And the different places of UP, Haryana. Prabhupada mentions that in a purport as Punjab. And if you read that, you may wonder, how is that? How did he go to Punjab? Because at that time, when Prabhupada wrote that, Haryana was part of Punjab state. And later it was divided. Kurukshetra is in Haryana. Previously it was in Punjab, like that. So many places. He visited Bengal, but you won't find that in the ancient shastras, at least as far as I'm aware of. But that comes in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings, when that king by the name of Samudra Sen, I thought you would know, your old friend, Samudra Sen, Bhima thought, because Bhima was coming to the east side to conquer for the sake of facilitating the Ashwamedha Yajna. And you know, in the next kingdom, Samudra Sen. That'll be nice. He's a devotee of Krishna. It'll be nice. He'll come and give tribute. But he didn't. He fought with him like anything. Bhima was surprised because Samudra Sen thought, if I fight terribly against Bhima, Bhima means terrible, and put him in difficulty, then Krishna will have to come. Then I'll see Krishna. So that's what he did. And Krishna came. And they said, okay, all right, I'll pay your tribute now. Like this. So Krishna came, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I don't know if you found it in any shastra, but his vision is shastra. What is shastra anyway? It's not written down. It's revealed by the rishis. They're not called shastra karta. They don't make the shastra. They're shastra drashta. They see within their heart. Tene brahma hridaya adi kavi. Krishna imparted this knowledge within the heart of Brahma. So the same thing. There are many lists within Mahabharata, and so many. Truth, charity, patience, self-control, brahmacharya, pragya, that's very important. Pragyanam brahma. Pragyanam, it translated usually as wisdom. Realized knowledge. Pragyanam brahma. If one has this knowledge, then one is on the spiritual platform, taken by, guess who, Shankaracharya, as one of his supposed Mahavakyas to mean that you become God by knowledge. That's not what is meant. Bathing in the Ganga, very auspicious, right? What about a fish that lives the whole life in the Ganga? Must be very pure, huh? But the shastras say that if the water alone were enough to purify, then all the fish in the Ganga would go to heaven. But most of them go to Bengal. They get caught in Bihar and taken to Bengal and get eaten by the Bengalis. And after that, we don't know where they go. But the point is that it's not just the ritual of bathing. One has to actually purify the consciousness. So both things. It's not to say, well, I've got very pure consciousness, so I don't need to go on any pilgrimage. No, one should think that I'm in need of help. Whatever we can get. Here's a quote from Srila Prabhupada's purport to Canto 3, Chapter 20, Text 4 of Srimad Bhagavatam. The sacred places are so situated that anyone who goes there automatically becomes purified. This is especially true in Vrindavan. Any person may go there, and even if he is sinful, he will at once contact an atmosphere of spiritual life and will automatically chant the names of Krishna and Radha that we have actually seen and experienced. So even if one is very sinful, by going to a holy place, at least some purification will be affected. Full purification is affected by full purity of consciousness, but the holy places are there to help us, and especially true in Vrindavan. And we may add here Mayapur, which is non-different from Vrindavan. Anyone who goes there, because there's an atmosphere of spiritual life, Srila Prabhupada writes. So it's the place, Vrindavan, is itself non-different from Krishna, and devotees come there to take shelter of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said living in Vrindavan is like living on the lap of Krishna, being on the lap of Krishna, being Krishna takes care of one just like a mother, at least one's spiritual life, you could say. Because we find that, especially it used to be, that devotees from the West especially went to India, they'd get very sick in Vrindavan. So devotees understood that's purification, this sickness. It's Krishna's kindness. So many people who want to be devotees and who want to go to Krishna, they go to Vrindavan and they get that atmosphere of being in Vrindavan. But when they all come together and they build temples, they go to temples, they ring the bell, and it used to be going from Krishna Balaram temple to, if one is going into the town early in the morning, we used to walk from Fogla Ashram, known in ISKCON as Fogla Ashram, early in the morning for Mangalarti. And when walking back after Mangalarti, before and after, you'll hear early in the morning so many bells ringing. Or if you're sleeping, especially if you're sleeping on the roof, it's very hot, then you'll be woken up maybe 3:30, 3 o'clock by so many bells ringing, so many temples, and then the peacocks crowing. And there's if you go from Krishna Balaram temple that way toward the town, on the right-hand side you hear always the Akhanda Kirtan, non-stop Kirtan. Sitaram, 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 Sitaram. Bit unusual in Vrindavan, but let's do it. And then if you come round, just going past Keshighat, that wasn't there as far as I remember when I first went to Vrindavan in 1976, but you'll hear loudspeaker very loudly, Om Namo Shivaya, on and on and on, again and again. You hear these, it's quite common that you hear some big sound and you think, well, there must be something really big going on. And you go and find out where it's coming from, and there's one or two people sitting there, but they've got a big loudspeaker broadcasting everywhere. So, but mostly, of course, in Vrindavan, we hear the names. Prabhupada writes, Jai Radhe, people call out, the standard greeting. And Prabhupada used to say Hare Krishna. So mostly devotees say Hare Krishna, following Prabhupada, following the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Recently, last time I was in Vrindavan area, I went to visit that farm which Sanak Sanatan Prabhu was overseeing. And then we were going just one village close to there. And people were sitting around like people often do in the villages. It's evening time. So I went to call out of the window, Hare Krishna, to them all. But they said Hare Krishna to me first. I thought they might say Jai Radhe, but they said Hare Krishna. That's the influence of Srila Prabhupada, you can see. Nothing wrong with saying Jai Radhe, especially if you're on that very high platform, especially if you're a Brajbasi. Nothing wrong, we should chant, but we prefer to, following Srila Prabhupada's example, we like to chant Hare Krishna, because that's Radha and Krishna together. We worship Radha, Krishna, Pranamo, Jugala Kishore, Radha and Krishna together. If you say Jai Radha, where's Krishna? So we can chant that two together. So attitude in going to a holy place. People go for material boons, but hopefully they should, as they're going to, with the hope of getting, with the faith that they'll be helped to cross over the trials and tribulations of earthly life, but at least they should know that the real ferry I have to take, ferry here the English word, but I get, no, not the Hindi word, but that the real ferry I have to take is across the ocean of birth and death. To the ferry, having taken that one, one doesn't have to come back. If we go to a holy place and ask for a material boon, please cure my backache. Then you go, and then again you come, please cure my earache. And then again you come, please cure my stomachache. And there's no end to it. One has to keep on coming. But a person who's competent to give boons, they like to give boons such that a person is fully satisfied. We find when Vamana Dev came to Bali Maharaj, Vamana was just asking for 3 steps of land. And Bali Maharaj said, someone who comes to me shouldn't have to come back again. I'll give you all you need for your whole life. I can do very easily. I can give you everything you need. So 3 steps, if I only give you 3 steps of land, then you'll have to come back again. Headache for me, headache for you. And it's embarrassing for me because it seems as if I can't give you enough. So he wanted to give him more. So the same thing, if we go to Krishna and ask for material boons, Srila Prabhupada said that's like going to a rich man. You make all the endeavor to walk so many days to go to the house of a rich man. Somehow or other you get an appointment with him, not very easy to get, or you see him in the open court and ask, so what do you want? A handful of ashes. It's ridiculous. A handful of ashes you get very easily. Anyway, what are you going to do with it? You can clean some pots with it, and that's what will you do with it? It's of no value. No one sells ashes. It's available everywhere. So if you ask a rich man for a handful of ashes, it's ridiculous. It's absurd. And your needs are not fulfilled. So in the same way, if one asks Krishna for a material boon, it's ridiculous. It's absurd. One's needs are not fulfilled. So one should aspire for that yayatma supraseedati, that fully satisfies the heart. One's very being, because if we ask for anything to satisfy our body or our mind or even the mundane heart, the heart can mean the physical heart, which boom 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 boom. It can mean the seat of emotions on the material platform, and it also means hridesha juna tishtati, the space that you can't see that with a microscope or any such thing, but the dahanakash, the place, daharakash, the space in the heart where the jiva resides, along with Vishnu. So satisfaction of the heart, full satisfaction, that means becoming fully Krishna conscious. And one can do so anywhere. One can do so anywhere, so it may not be needed to go to a holy place at all. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Shabe, what is that? On the Hridayman, Moramon Vrindavan. For other people, their mind and the heart are the same. They're on the mundane platform. But my heart is Vrindavan. He's in the mood of Radharani saying this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's the whole idea, to go to Vrindavan in the fullest sense of the term means to enter, to be allowed to enter the land of our actual aspiration. Everyone is looking for Krishna, but most people don't realize it, and they look for Krishna in home, friend, family, Sri Aishwarya Prajapsava. surrounding themselves with beautiful women, opulence, family members, children, and so on. Everyone's looking for Krishna. Everyone, what are they do, what is everyone doing? Whatever they may be doing, everyone, in whatever they're doing, ultimately everyone is looking for Krishna. Everyone's looking for happiness, but happiness is with Krishna. So if we can find Krishna, Krishna's everywhere. He's not only in Vrindavan. Well, he is, but he's everywhere also. Particularly in Vrindavan, but he is Goloka Nivasatyakilatna Bhuto. He's in his own Vrindavan, in his own abode. And he's also in the heart of every being, in the heart of every living being. So if we can find him there, then we may not need to go to Vrindavan, but we do need to go to Vrindavan. That is our real need. But the point is that one may need not physically take one's body there. But it's something like saying, well, you don't need to do anything else. All you need to do is think of Krishna. But then, theoretically, it's an easy thing, but we don't find it so easy. Therefore, we have so many rules and regulations of spiritual life to help us remember Krishna and stop remembering all the nonsense things we've been remembering when we weren't even thinking of remembering Krishna. So in the same way, going to holy places can be very helpful for spiritual advancement. And as we've read from Srila Prabhupada in this series, that the holy places, especially very important for common men, to help them to develop spiritual consciousness. And that's a great boon for them. If someone visits Vrindavan even once in his life, then that's a great advancement. Krishna will remember that. He's done something, even if he hasn't fully perfected his spiritual life. If someone chants Hare Krishna once, if he takes a little prasadam from Krishna even once, then we can say that his human life hasn't been totally wasted. He's made some significant progress on the path. Okay, Hare Krishna. That's the attitude in pilgrimage section. For at least my printout finished. And we only have one more section of the pilgrimage to go through. The name Tirthakar. Then Krishna is the one who makes holy places. He has the holy places in his hand. What is that next section? I'll leave you in suspense. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpatarupyascha kripa sindhu vibhaja. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo.